Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
Well, Jan, later today we will be celebrating our Master Gardeners and all of their accomplishments for the entire year. We are so proud of 19 Master Gardeners who have completed not just the coursework, but the volunteer hours to become certified Texas Master Gardeners.
So it's amazing.
It's very amazing. A big congratulations to them. And they join a core of over 120 Texas Master Gardeners that serve El Paso County alone. So we're very proud of them. We're really excited to showcase their efforts. Folks know that Master Gardeners out here, it's not just a once and for all designation. You all have to take a series of educational hours and volunteer hours to retain that certification. So we really invest into our volunteers that in turn invest back into our community.
Into the community. And it is amazing. And I've said before that, you know, this is my Master Gardener family. And I collect people, and I realize I've never been in an association that's been more rewarding. The organization teases me because I'm always talking about gardeners being down to earth, but they are, and there's something about that is very special. And this new class that's graduating, oh my gosh, their enthusiasm is infectious, and we always, those of us that have been around a while, we need that. We need that little injection of show us how. And so it just revitalizes all of us, and we will be rewarding people for their accomplishments and their years in the association and the number of hours that they've contributed over, you know, since they began their career as a Master Gardener. So congratulations to everybody in the association, and thank you so much for all your good hard work.
Most definitely, and definitely the best part of my job is to be around Master Gardeners and volunteers. So if you are thinking about becoming a Master Gardener, you are out of luck for this year, but you can certainly put it on your bucket list for 2018. We only hold the class once a year, so keep an eye out for that. And that'll be coming up here sooner than later.
Absolutely. And we really, it's not too early to think about it. You know,
right.
July will be here, unfortunately, before we know it. So keep that in the back of your mind.
Wonderful. And as gardeners, you want to make sure that we always kind of look every season. There's something going on, and we're kind of bombarded with another crop of crop of plants, if you will, coming into our winter season. And that season becomes, I mean, longer and longer each year. Sometimes I've heard Christmas songs and holiday songs.
Halloween.
I know it's a little early for that, but there's definitely a lot of opportunities even for like the novice gardener or even the more experienced one,
sure,
to try something a little bit different. So today's show, we're going to talk about our winter plant options.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things being out there, and I just absolutely love all the plants and the selection that's out there, but I have a pet peeve.
And what is that, Denise?
Well, I don't like the decorations on the plants.
No, put your glitter away.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
The festive picks and things that I can remove and take away and enjoy the beauty of the plant is wonderful. Don't stick anything to the leaves.
No.
I mean, it's just horrendous on things that they do.
You almost hear them crying, don't do that to me.
Yes, exactly. And even don't get me started. Thank goodness that the flocking of the cut Christmas trees has gone out of fashion.
Yes, that's not trending anymore.
Thank goodness on that. But there's a lot of different options for that. And I'm just going to start off here with one of the most popular ones that I see out there is the Norfolk Island Pine.
Such a pretty tree.
It's not a pine tree. You know, it is semi-tropical. It can't handle the outside weather. So
no.
It's a wonderful tree to have inside. You can certainly take it out in the summertime in a protected patio. But I really like that. I think it's small. It's manageable. You can decorate it as much as you'd like. I like the little flowy type growth habit that
it has. It's kind of drapey. And you know, if you live in an apartment and you don't have room for a large tree, that's a perfect idea. Or maybe your grandparents, and you're going to be going out to see your children and not spending the holiday at home, but you think, well, it's Christmas, I've got to have some decoration. So try that tree and put it in your house, and you can still decorate it Don't put glitter on it, but right. you can still string it with lights if you want, and even hang some little Christmas ornaments, things that are not permanent on the tree.
Right, exactly.
Because that damages the tree, and you want to keep it healthy because it will give back to you all year long.
Exactly. Then you have a tree invested for next year.
Exactly. So you never have to buy another Christmas tree.
There you go. So there's a choice there for a winter plant if you're looking in for interior decorating for the holiday season. And we cannot go too far into this show without talking about the poinsettia.
Oh, you know, whether you try to keep them going after the holidays or not, there's something about them that are just lovely. And they're in more and more colors. There's some fall colored ones out that kind of have a salmon-y mm-hmm. pink tinge to them, you know. As right. a little kid, I remember they were red, period, end of subject, but not anymore. They've been hybridized and,
exactly.
and they really are pretty.
There's some that have like speckled bracts to them.
Yes.
Variegated leaves as well. And by far the most popular one is the standard red.
Always.
And really what we're looking at is the fact is that we're not buying them for their flowers per se. You have to look for the poinsettia flower. It's going to be that really tiny, those little...
The little yellow balls that are kind of
in the middle
of it. And then
right in the center.
Right.
And then right next to that are actually going to be the actual flowers. So they're really, you know, not very showy, but there's these bracts that are actually modified leaves. Those are the showy ones. And that's what we look for when we're looking for a poinsettia. So you want to make sure that when you choose one, it's going to be nice mm-hmm. and full. You're not going to have any kind of breaking branches off into the side. It's going to be, and they're bred for compaction stuff like that.
So, and they're everywhere. I will remind everybody that they are in the euphorbia family, which euphorbias you have to be careful about because they can be somewhat toxic and you don't want to get it on your skin and so forth and so on. And there's a lot of concern that people have pets that say, oh, can't have a poinsettia in my house because I have a pet. Well, for one thing, I just don't imagine that most pets are going to go say, let me chew on this for a little while.
Right.
But you may want to keep them up. And they're not going to kill your pet, that's for sure. But,
right.
you know, they might get a little bit upset tummy or whatever. But
don't keep them
out of the way.
Yeah, don't have your children or your pets gnawing on your plants.
No, they don't.
No matter what plants you have.
I was going to say, it's not, you know, I'm all about eating greens, but there's specific ones that work, and that is not one of them. So,
right, exactly.
you know, and that's just, it's not to make anybody fearful, but just a kind of an awareness issue.
Right, of course. And again, another semi-tropical plant as well that doesn't like any drafty windows. So you want to make sure that you mm-hmm. keep it in a nice warm area. Between 60 to 70 degrees is a good temperature range to keep your poinsettias healthy, and you don't want them to either drop their leaves too much or, you know, just get too stressed out by right. bringing them to, especially in our area, you know, a real dry climate
the dry,
when you have your heater
where
pumping
the heater
for
is
telling,
so. And many of them come wrapped in, their little green garden pots, which is fine, but they're wrapped in the cellophane. And I recommend taking those out because we water them and then they sit there and then they get soggy and
they rot.
Oh, why did my thing die? Well, it's because it's got root rot. That's why. So you can there's all sorts of little Christmas goodies out there, whatever, or holiday goodies of any sort, depending on what, you know, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. Of course, Thanksgiving's past, but cash pots that mm-hmm. you can pop those things in, a red pot or whatever. So you don't want to get your plant all soggy and kill it from overwatering, and that's what happens when it sits in that cellophane.
And if you like that foil sleeve, wonderful, but just it's going to be looking ugly for a little while, just make sure you take it out, you water it nice and saturated, and
let it
with
dry.
A little saucer mm-hmm. in the bottom. Don't let that water sit in that saucer for too long.
No.
30 minutes, it's taken up all the water
it's
it can be.
You can use.
Shake it off, put it back in the sleeve, and put it back where you were displaying.
And if you have, if it gets messy and you start to lose the leaves, then clean it up a little bit, you know. And that's true of any plant. You don't want fallen leaves that, sometimes they'll turn into mulch, but some of them get kind of yucky and they're not very attractive. So keep your plant kind of tidy, especially for the holiday season when you want things to look really colorful and bright.
Right. And another thing that you see out there are a lot of cut wreaths using mm-hmm. pine branches. So you can certainly take your chances on those. Remember, they've been cut and transport it for a long distance.
Exactly.
So what a plant's going to do is going to start sealing itself off. It's going to be really difficult to take in water. You can try to mist it as you keep it, try to keep it fresh as long as possible. But you had a great idea before the show. We were talking about just using berries or something that's in your garden at this
Absolutely.
Time to be able to bring that in there. So
bring that splash of color, or if you've got, if you have your own evergreens and maybe there's some lower boughs or whatever, and you can trim those, and at least you know when they've been cut and they're going to last longer. But do keep them misted, because it's hard, and then that becomes a hazard too, becomes a fire hazard in your home and so forth, especially if you're using any kind of candles.
Right.
My family has said no more candles for Mom, because I forget about them.
Right.
So the new ones that are out that have the little battery operated, those work really well, and they make beautiful centerpieces for the holiday.
They look realistic, and out there in your garden, you can't throw a stick without finding maybe some pine cones,
yes.
Some Chinese pistache berries, and you also
pyracantha berries.
Pyracantha mm-hmm. berries, also great bright red berries as well.
Your ivies, and there are all sorts of things you can decorate with, and save yourself a fortune and use all those creative juices you may not be aware of within yourself, and get out there and do something. I don't know about you, Denise, but I seem to do the same thing every year. So I've been trying to switch it up a little bit.
Definitely.
And incorporate some new things into my holiday decor.
Right, exactly. And one new thing that we've seen are amaryllis out in the market, and they kind of just come, just the bulb itself.
They're fascinating. They grow under your nose.
Right, exactly.
Put them on your kitchen counter, and you stick it in the, they come with a little.
You put a ruler right next to there and just measure it every day.
It's amazing.
It grows that fast.
And the colors are just incredible. There's really pretty pinks, and of course, I still love the dark red ones. And I take them out every year after the holiday, and I plant them in my garden.
Wonderful.
And they bloom again. They're not the kind of plant that blooms and blooms and blooms. But when they do, they're great big blossoms. And some of them get up to 3 foot tall.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to just watch them just explode almost right under your nose.
Yeah.
And the kids love them too. They think they're just, that's really cool.
They are delightful. And I think it's one way to kind of start off there. Many years ago, I bought an amaryllis bulb kit on clearance, because things tend to go on clearance. So even as late as January, you mm-hmm. can get these going and still be able to have those blooms. And I kept that over to Valentine's Day, if you can believe that.
I can.
Because that season of red kind of extends out from now until February. So there's a lot of different options on there. I know folks that also will force paper whites.
Yes.
Are a great way to
put
a
so
little minimal
pretty.
Investment on there. But the smell is just, it's overwhelming.
It is. And I don't know what it is about the paper white. But I remember the first time I did it, I'd walk into my living room. I thought, what is that? I'm looking all over to see why everything, it stinks. So I don't know of any other word.
Right.
For me, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Everybody's nose has a, different approach to things, but they're really pretty.
When they start blooming, then put them outside on your patio.
Exactly. Make sure they're in a protected area. Or stick them out there in your greenhouse with your other things, and, they'll all, your plants can't talk to you, so they won't complain about the smell.
Wonderful, wonderful. So out of all of these options, I think we have a Plant of the Week nominee here.
The amaryllis, hands down.
Most definitely. So go out there and try your luck. It's really easy. Got some nice
success. And it's in every store in town.
Right. Wonderful. Well, we have hope that we have given you a lot of ideas to look to see what you want to do with your winter plants that are out there, all your different options, whether you choose them to be an annual and toss them after the season, or keep them in your garden planted every year.
Absolutely.
So wonderful. So we hope that you enjoyed today's show. And before we leave, we want to thank Jorge Morales for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good
to grow.